Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
And we welcome you yet again to another installment here on the Study Hour, where we jump into the segment we call Make It Practical. The discussion is aimed at bringing down those theological concepts, bringing down those applications that come from Scripture, but in a manner and in a size that we can digest in everyday life, right? To say, how does it work in my day-to-day? So join us as we'll be unpacking the final segment in our series we've been running here. We've been looking at the Good Samaritan, right? That's our conversation around the Make It Practical segment. And we want to wrap it up with saying, we must act. That's it. We can talk and talk and talk, but the bottom line is we must act. And so join us as we'll be discussing Umfundisi Marandure as we conclude our series. Now, after telling the parable, this is what it goes like, right? Concluding that parable in Luke chapter 10, Jesus turns the table again and he answers, or rather asks the lawyer now. Remember, it was the lawyer who came and asked. He now asks the lawyer which of the three men that he presents, the Samaritan, the priest, and the Levite, which one was this man's neighbor? And the lawyer, obviously unable to even say a word other than that, says, Samaritan. In fact, he doesn't even want to say the Samaritan. He says rather the one who showed mercy. Hey, he has in bigotry there. He says the one who shows mercy. Jesus' final command is simple but profound. Go and do likewise. In fact, go and be like a Samaritan. Today we wrap up by exploring how to apply this challenging teaching in our everyday lives. Turning theological knowledge and into as the lawyer learned, active mercy-driven living. That's our discussion as we conclude. And joining us in discussion is our pastor, Mfundisi Marandure. Pastor, good morning to you and welcome again.
Thank you so much. A very good morning. And how are you today? And hope I know you are okay. You are a child of God, so you're always okay.
I like your faith, Pastor. I like your faith. No, we're doing okay, Mfundisi. Yeah, yes. And how are you on that side?
We are doing very well. God is keeping us. It's a day at a time, and we are seeing his hand of mercy leading and guiding us, and we are so glad.
Indeed, we are indeed glad. We are indeed glad you're glad, and you make us glad by knowing that. Let's conclude our series. We've had a marvelous time this week looking at the story around the Good Samaritan. Now, he then says to the lawyer, that's Jesus, right, as he concludes his series here, to say to him, go and do likewise. What does it actually mean, though, for us, especially in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, and the ones who are supposed to become Samaritans in our spaces today? What does this go and do likewise actually mean?
Okay, thank you so much. So now, after Jesus had given a story whereby he was trying to drive a point home in a way that is vivid, now he is asking the lawyer, not only the lawyer, but of course every Jew who was there,
okay,
to go do likewise and do exactly like what the Samaritan did. Not going to wait for people who have been robbed, but now to go and consider the Samaritans and other people out there as brothers, as people who are so close, people who are equally created in the image of God and who deserve our love, our compassion, our attention, and our sacrifices as well, in the same manner who do unto our own selves. So now this is moving out of a tradition that they were used to or that they were born into, to say it's us, the Jews, and Jews alone. But now they are being asked to go out. And also it was more of a preparation. Mind you, let's put this thing straight from its context. The lawyer is asking, how can I inherit the kingdom of God?
Yes.
And now whereby Jesus brought into this aspect of a neighbor. So in other words, for you to inherit the kingdom of God, you need to be mindful of other people out there. Mm. You need to give them love in the same manner that Jesus gave us love. And also it was more of preparing them. Now, it's a transition whereby we are moving out of the Jewish way of life whereby they are the only chosen people of God. But now the same good news was supposed to spread and also overspill to the Gentiles. And it was more preparation again for them, because these were the same people that would remain even after Jesus had died, risen, and gone to heaven.
Yeah.
They were supposed to be mindful of other people and treat them with equal treatment that they would treat their fellow Jews. So that's what they're basically trying to drive a point there.
Yeah, and I think it's unminced words, right? It's very clear, very succinct, very straightforward what we ought to be gaining. And thank you so much for making it even much more precise. How can we identify with the wounded? It's one thing to call us to become neighborly, but looking at it from the other person who is needing to have a neighbor, how do we identify with the wounded man, and even the wounded in our lives, right? Translating that to our very, very own scenarios where when they aren't physically on this side of the road.
Okay, yeah. Thank you so much. Now, we have wounded people. We are going to have them. They are always with us.
Okay.
Now, it's a matter of moving outside of or stepping rather outside of our comfort zone and try to break that barrier, the traditional, the cultural or religious barrier, and then we go out there to help them, to be with them. I'm going to give a few examples of the wounded. There are people I do not know with SA and other countries in our SID, but here in Zimbabwe we've got children that have been identified as street kids. Yeah, and yes, these ones they live all their entire life. It's based, it's rooted in the streets, and that's where they are. They sleep there, they wake up from there, they eat from there, they spend the day from there. So they do not have parents who are there. They live by themselves, exactly. However, you see, these children are already wounded because there's no way we can say they came from nowhere. There were some two people who met, and there was that child. And those two people, we cannot say they are dead, all of them. Some are still alive. Some may have just abandoned them, and some they may not even know that for the child. And perchance some they even died, they are orphans. So I'm saying, if they are seeing other children, they wish they had also parents who would actually drive them to school, you know, go for shopping and all these things. So in their hearts, they are hating, and we need to do something for them. We definitely need to do something for them. And also, not only that, we have got orphanages. Now, this is more of an organized way of putting children without parents in one place and trying to take care of them. But as they are that environment, in as much as you may sweet talk them and give them food and whatever, however, there's one thing that they miss is called a family. Because they do not have a family of their own. They do not have roots of their own. They are wounded. They are also people that I know who may be moving around, eating from the beans, and they are elderly people. Some may be mentally sick and all that. And also, there are some people who may visit us here and then. Of course, we may need to be careful. But these people, I may not know again with other countries, but we have got these people who sell their bodies in the nighttime, some even in the daytime. And the result, we may say, oh, these people, they just want to do this thing. Yeah, they're being evil. They're being evil. However, we have never sat down to really talk to these people and hear, but how did you end up being in this lifestyle? What brought you to this? Honestly, you realize there's a serious, deep wound, sitting wound that was never attended to, and they then, so what is life? They had to fight. So in other words, they are almost like the certain man who was who was beaten up and left to die, because they no longer have any shame to hide. They have no one in their life. They are bleeding. Nobody dared to give them an ear. We have such people in our communities, and some are even poor. We know them in their family, but they are very poor. They're struggling. The children are not to be going to school, and yet they are supposed to be going to school. And we see them around, and we see them begging. We see them even trying to get some jobs, and we undercharge them. We always negotiate downwards. Yet we don't even negotiate when we go to Pick and Pay.
Yeah.
We negotiate them to almost give them nothing.
Okay.
You see. So we have the people who are wounded in our communities. And as you know, Adventism, the Christianity, has got a big hinge that it drives from, which is a community service.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what exactly what to make them to be responsible of people in the community. You know, you don't be responsible of flowers and the grass and find time to go and watch.
Yeah.
Lions
yeah.
at
yeah.
the expense of using the same money. How can you go watch snakes in a snake park, lions in a what? It's fine to refresh with nature, but let me tell you, you could use the same money to help
much,
a human
much
being.
More. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Profound fundis. And I like this idea you're bringing to say, you know, because sometimes we might think, but I don't know any street kid. I don't know anyone struggling. I've never seen a wounded man, and we feel like we're excused. But what you're saying is you can actually go out seeking because they are there in our community. It's not like because you don't see they are therefore absent. No. Christ actually said it, right? The poor you will have with you always. They are there in our neighborhoods. It's just about seeking that opportunity. If we find this kind of love impossible, Mfundisi, where do we can we be helped? Is it that my heart must be touched first, like the Samaritan, or it's a call for Christians and for believers and those who are aspiring to be believers? They must know that this is the work they are signing up for. And if you're not feeling this compassion for the wounded and for the needy, is there somewhere to go get it, or you're excused therefore from executing the burden because you don't really have the challenge in your heart?
Thank you so much for that one. So what needs to happen is to have Christ in your life first.
Okay.
Yes, you know they are Christians, but not every Christian has got Christ in them.
Pastor.
Yeah. They are Christians, but not every Christian has got Christ in them. Some are counterfeits. They do not have Christ at all. They don't revolve around the wishes of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit himself is absent from their lives. You know, they are pastors who are without Christ. They are we have the perfect example of the priest and the Levite. They left that man to die. Yeah, we have that. We've got people, deacons, elders, church members at large. So what we must thrive and pray hard to get is to have Christ in our lives.
Yeah.
When Christ is resident, I tell you, Christ will never pass by where there's a need and he will not do something.
That's true.
So that's why Paul then says, hey, people, it's not me who is living, but it's now Christ.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now what I'm doing, please don't ask me about what I'm doing. Christ is the one who is doing what he's doing through me. So there's no way the Christ in me will turn a blind eye to someone who is in need, and yet I am capacitated to deal with that situation. So the moment you give a blind eye, you look the other side, you take the other route like the Levites did, then it should be clear to you to know that, I thought I have Christ in me, and yet I don't have Christ in me. Then where are you supposed to head to? You need to head to your closet on your knees in tears. Pray that God will grant you Christ in your life. After that, you'll be good to go.
After that, you're good to go. Pray and God will give it to you. You know, I think it's James where he said, if any is lacking wisdom, ask the Father. He will give. He will give. So whatever you're needing, if it's the grace to love others, ask the Father. He will give it. I'm just trying to look at the in idea, Pastor. You spoke to us about the in, and you said, no, it's not just a lodge like we have them today, you know, where you mention an in, people think of a hotel place. To say an in was a bit more complex and a bit more all-encompassing than just the hotel idea. And I'm just thinking today's day, what could represent an inn? Could we say our churches could be turned to inns? I mean, like the one in the story for the broken, rather than just a place where we come and we sit and we hear a word and we go back unchanged and we feel like we've ticked a box somewhere.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Fine. Churches, we may consider them to be inns, but I'll tell you the best inn that you can have is your home. Your home is the best inn.
Oh, Mfundis. Yeah. Mfundis.
Yeah, yeah. It's the best because, you know, church is a building, and we come here for some reason. Our buildings, they are normally opened on the Sabbath, and that's when they are flooded with people.
Yeah.
People who have come to worship, and some they've come just for a show off, and some they've just come to investigate, and some
there's a lot happening.
It's a mixed multitude, I tell you.
Sure.
Yeah. So we can't then say because we are in this mixed multitude, we automatically become an inn. But yes, of course, to some extent we may, because the food we share, at least during lunchtime, we may then say, okay, for visitors, why here? Please remain behind, there's your food here. Yeah, and they may remain and they have at least a meal. That may be interesting, but I tell you, some also may be so helpful. Maybe they wanted someone to help them with whatever. Find someone to, and someone already has got a job. But let me tell you, the best inn is our homes.
Yeah.
The Samaritan, unfortunately, did not. We don't. He was actually on a journey. I tell you, if it could have been in his hometown, he could have brought this guy to his home. But then he looked for a place similar to his home.
Wow!
And that's when he identified the inn. Now the inn, like I said, it had a double portion. It came with the medical side to eat. It also came with the lodge where this person would sleep, and there's also food where he was taken care of. And there is no other definition that can be closer to that than a home.
Yeah,
a church will not have those facilities. A home can also have those facilities. So this man, he gave the best to this man. He said, "I'm away from, but let me give you something similar to my home." And that's what he did. Because there were churches then. He could have taken this man to a church. He could have taken this man to the police. He could have taken this man to a hospital that was there. But he said, no, not a hospital. I want a home for you. I want a home. That's what Christ is asking us to do.
You just made the lesson that much more practical. I mean, if you want to talk, make it practical, that's it right there. Mfundisi, in the last minute or two we've got left, I want to leave it with a practical flavor in the mouths of our listeners here. To say, can you maybe assist maybe one thing or so, a practical step a listener can take this week to show this unexpected message to somebody?
Oh, yeah. You see, the first step that we need to do or to have is to, like I said, to enter into our closets and ask God, Lord, help me. I need to be like you.
Yes.
But let me not be like you when you are operating from outside of me. Please come within me. Fill me with thy Holy Spirit. And you know the song, Holy Spirit, Faithful Guide. Come in. I want you then to guide me.
Yeah.
Then lead me where I must go and do what I must do. Capacitate me, Lord, with what I need to fear. Let me tell you one thing that is so simple. After you leave your bedside. Like I said, I may not trust other places out there, but here in Zimbabwe, I know we've got what we, these people, these children call them street kids. And also a plate of food, the cheapest plate of food that you can buy will cost you $1. I mean, from $1 to $2, I don't know how much that will be in rands, in pula.
Okay.
And but just go and buy one pamet, $1 worth. If you can afford two pamets, the better.
Yeah.
Get into town. Find these people. Just leave them with that pamet. Hey, look here. I have bought myself some food, but I thought of someone else. And I'm just passing by here. I think maybe you may need this. You may need this. You'll be shocked. That same planet, they will share maybe the five of them.
Yes.
But see what you would have done. They'll say, thank you so much. God bless you. I tell you, that's the secret now
Amen.
Of God's blessings. We'll hear those prayers so fast. Oh, bless you. So let me bless this person. You don't need $1,000. Don't pray for resources of $1,000,000. You need $1. You need maybe 10 rand.
Yeah.
Buy something in South Africa. At least buy a quarter. I know South Africa, there's this quarter thing. Just buy a quarter. Go and give someone who is stranded and by the robots and is a beggar. Listen here, I know you're begging for money. Maybe you're looking for a job or whatever. I don't know. But this is what I can do. Whilst you are begging and doing what you're doing here, please have some food. And just 10 rand, 20 rand, a US dollar, one item, even for the entire month, just one person. Ah, come on. You will have done a good job. You'll be actually a Samaritan. You know, even if you can do it at least once a week, I tell you, that's something. But you know, the more you help people and they're praying for you and God is blessing you, the more exciting it becomes. It becomes an addiction now. Now you're looking for even more. That's how we get started.
Yeah, I like that.
So I think my brother, Derek, that's one practical and easy to do.
Without a doubt. I mean, even today, somebody can actually start applying that counsel you're sharing, Mfundisi. Thank you so much. Pastor, all good things do come to an end. Unfortunately, we've come to the end of today's session and to the end of our series. But wow, we have learned and we have been practically educated. Thank you so much, Pastor, for guiding us and for teaching us and for helping us make sense of this parable Christ spoke of in Luke 10. We appreciate you. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you so much. God bless you. And I really appreciate the privilege also of serving God.
Amen.
And it's been a blessing. May
Amen.
God continue to bless you. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor. Stay well. That's our Pastor Mfundisi Science Marandura. He's been with us this whole week, helping us make sense of the parable of the Good Samaritan. And the last line there, no, you can actually, that's the calling. You must be a Samaritan in your own corner, and you can practically do that starting today. I'm reminded of Proverbs, right? Proverbs 19:17. The Bible will say that he who lends or gives to the poor is lending to God. You are having God in your debt, and God always pays back, right? God always pays up. Go out there and do and apply just like that.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.